Hello, everyone. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. We're glad you're here. We hope you're finding this topic interesting. Of course, I love animals. I love dogs. So anything about dogs, I'm happy to talk about. What about you, Hazel?
I like dogs, too. So I'm pretty happy about this article.
Now, you don't have any dogs, though, do you?
Only three.
Only three?
Only three, and they're all poodles.
Oh, So then you can relate to this article.
I can. I have two smaller poodles, the mini poodles, and then I have a standard poodle, which is the bigger kind.
And the dog in our article, of course, is not a purebred poodle. He's kind of a poodle, I guess you could say, a mix.
Mm-hmm.
When you said that, it reminded me of a phrase that I see sometimes, that dogs are like potato chips. You can never have too many.
You can never have just one, right?
That's right.
I think you can have too many.
Okay, well, but that's an article for another day.
Okay, but yeah, I think if you have more than one, they can keep each other company. It's a good thing.
And that's nice. Well, how about you, Zach? What's your feeling about dogs?
I love dogs. Unfortunately, I don't have one here, but I do have one back at home in North Carolina. Shout out to my dog, Cameron. Mm-hmm. She's a chocolate lab, miniature chocolate lab.
All right. And I think even if you open your magazines to page 27, if you look at the little picture, you can see that's kind of what a lab looks like. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. Very close.
So dogs are fun. They're good companions. I know in Taiwan and other places around the world, having dogs for pets is very popular. But is the dog in our article a pet, Hazel?
No, it's a dog that's been trained very well, and it's a service dog, which is different. And, of course, I'm sure it's still cuddly like a pet, and so it fulfills some of the needs that a pet might fulfill. But it takes its job very seriously.
So it does have a special job. Well, if you were with us yesterday, we talked a lot about Kiera, who is a girl who has the service dog, and we learned some good words and phrases. Zach, what's one thing that you think our listeners should particularly remember from yesterday?
Ooh, okay, I had two things, but you said one, but I'll try to make it one point.
Okay.
Yesterday we learned the word nudge. Diego will nudge her, and I really think that nudge is a practical word, and kind of like to elbow or to, just get the attention of someone.
Yes, it's also a good way to get someone's attention without having to say anything. Sometimes in a place where you can't talk, if you nudge someone, then they know that you want their attention.
Or kick them under the table.
But you can do that too.
That's not called nudge.
No.
It's another way.
Right. What about you, Hazel? What is something you think our listeners should remember from yesterday?
It's not a vocabulary word, but I think the word pursue and just the idea that if you really think something is good for you, you should pursue it and not give up, or at least pursue it until you realize that perhaps it's not the best idea for you. And so that word, don't give up, don't quit, just keep at it, and perhaps you'll be successful at the right point in time.
That's right. All right, so we're going to find out more about Kiera and her family's journey toward getting the service animal. So if you haven't yet, please open your magazines to page 27. We're going to be reading at the top of the column in line 1.
Anitra went online and found Karen Shirk, the founder of Four Paws for Ability. Shirk started the organization as the result of her own struggle to find a service dog. Shirk said it didn't matter that Kiera couldn't handle the dog. Another adult could. But they'd need to raise $10,000. Once you raise your part, then Four Paws would put in the rest, Anitra Williamson said. Between a bowling fundraiser, donations, and help from Four Paws for Ability corporate sponsor ASI, the Williamsons were set, and the family was placed on a 2-year waiting list.
Well, if you remember from yesterday, Anitra had talked to a doctor who knew Kiera, and he had told her not to be discouraged and not give up. So, what do we do when we want information these days, Hazel?
You go online. The internet has all the answers, almost.
Well, she did find an answer online, though, didn't she?
She did. She found a lady named Karen Shirk, and this lady was the founder of an organization called Four Paws for Ability.
Now, Zach, why do you think she would name her organization that?
Yeah, so here, four paws, dogs have, right, four paws, hands or feet. We call them paws for a dog, and it's the dogs are providing a service to provide an ability for people, for their clients.
Exactly. So this would give you the idea that this is some organization that uses dogs to help people. And why did Karen Shirk found or start this organization?
Well, apparently she had a struggle finding a service dog. So we don't know what her disability was, but she wanted a service dog and she had a struggle and probably had to pursue it herself in her own way and decided to make it easier or more convenient for others, or at least make a service dog accessible or obtainable for others. So she started it from her own struggle, her own.
And this is one of the wonderful things about the internet and going online is people like to communicate now and share their stories online. And if you go searching, you can find people maybe who had similar struggles that you are facing and get their advice and hear their experience. So actually it can bring us closer together and make it easier for us to share. And I think it's great that people, they don't just keep their knowledge, their experience to themselves. They want to share it. They want to help. And I'm sure this Karen Shirk was very happy to answer Anitra's questions. And actually, Karen Shirk gave her some good news, too.
That's right. She said it didn't matter that her daughter could not handle the dog herself, but another adult could help.
But there was a downside.
Right. They did need to raise, it says, $10,000, right, which they did. They were able to through a fundraiser. Here it says that they had a bowling fundraiser. Now, a fundraiser is often, there's an event, right? So in this case, it's bowling. But funds are money, and to raise them, right, is to acquire them, to bring them in somehow. And often people will have fundraisers by asking for donations. So a donation is someone, you might either have a personal sponsor, or here it says a corporate sponsor who will donate money for your cause.
Exactly. So they had to raise $10,000, or they had to, that was their part, their portion. And as Zach said, they did this through a fundraiser. Perhaps some of you are aware of some of the ones online. I think there's something called GoFundMe, which is a way to raise money for different causes. But the old-fashioned kind of fundraisers are things that you do to get people to come and donate money or buy things, like a bake sale can be a fundraiser. You can have a spaghetti feed. You can have a charity run, like Studio Classroom did Let's Run earlier this year. Lots of different ways.
Right, that's right. But $10,000, that tells you something. It costs a lot of money to train a dog, a lot of time, perhaps a lot of people working with the dog. And that's just they had to raise $10,000, and then the Four Paws organization would also subsidize that, would also give money, so it's very expensive.
It is, because $10,000 was just their part, the Williamsons' part. So the cost was much higher than $10,000, because, as Hazel said, of all the training and the time that it would take to find just the right dog. I've talked with people who train service dogs, and the difficult thing about it is they will start to train a dog, they will invest a lot of time and a lot of energy, and the dog may get most of the way, and then something will happen, and they realize the dog cannot complete the training. So that means they have to find another puppy and start all over again. So it's not guaranteed that just because you start to train the puppy that he is going to be able to become a service dog. There may be some problems along the way. So it's a very time-consuming thing.
Not every dog is suitable, that's true.
So anyway, they got good news. They can get a dog. They only have to raise $10,000. Then Four Paws would provide the rest, because there was a corporate sponsor, as Zach said, a company or a business that would provide some of the money. So they were set. What does it mean when you're set?
You are ready to go. You are taken care of.
That's right. So everything was all in place,
But they had to wait 2 years. They were put on a waiting list. So these dogs are in demand. There's not enough of them, so they have to wait for the right dog to come along.
And for the reasons that we've already talked about, is because you have to put a lot of time into training it. And generally, they do start when the dogs are puppies. So, of course, they have to grow up. And we don't just grow up overnight. So that's why they're expensive. It takes time and energy to do that. But that's exciting. They're on the list. At least they know the end is in sight. Let's continue to read more about Diego.
Getting to know Diego. Once Diego was ready, the Williamsons had to travel to Ohio for 12 days of training. On the third day, Diego came to the hotel to stay with the family. Afterward, the family and Diego were taken to a local mall for a test. They put meat, cheese, and everything down on the floor, said Anitra. The dog isn't supposed to eat, or you have to start all over with the training. Diego passed with flying colors. He's very mild-mannered and laid back. Kiera had a cheerleading outing days after Diego arrived in Michigan. I didn't know how he was going to do because it was my first time without the trainers, said Anitra. He did awesome. He didn't get up. There was no barking, nothing. Dr. Kenneth Pittock, Kiera's physician, said the change Diego has made in the family's lives has been phenomenal. I've known Kiera for a long time, and she's a charming, very vibrant girl with lots of physical challenges. Having this dog has been able to change her life and the life of her mom, who is kind of her 24/7 companion, caregiver, mother. What else can we say? Transportation, entertainment coordinator, and agent advocate.
Well, we remember that the name of this dog is Diego, or at least I hope you remember that. We learned that in yesterday's program. And it is a good name for a dog, Diego, kind of a Spanish name. And the family was waiting very anxiously for Diego. I'm sure they probably even knew its name beforehand. So when Diego was ready, they did have to take a journey. How or what might mean that he was ready, Zach?
Right. So in the last reading, we had read that it took some time to train dogs. And here in this case, Diego was ready. It seems like he's trained. He's ready to provide the service.
All right. So he's been trained, he's prepared, and he's ready to go. So they went to Ohio, but they couldn't just pick him up and take him home.
No, they couldn't. They needed to be trained as a family, and that would take 12 days of training. And so they couldn't even have the dog for the first few days, and after the third day, the dog became theirs and stayed in the hotel room with them.
That's right. And this actually makes a lot of sense, because the person who trained the dogs, they're the one who knows all the commands and what the dog is supposed to do for each command. And, of course, Kiera and her family would not know that. So they would need to learn all the commands and how Diego was supposed to respond to them. And so they met the dog for the first 2 days. On the third day, Diego had to be part of that.
Right. And after he was trained, it seemed like the family also needed a little bit of training, where they were all taken together to a local mall for a test.
Oh, boy. I wonder what kind of test that would be.
Hard to pass, at least for my dogs. It sounds like they put meat, cheese, everything down on the floor at the mall, and the dog isn't supposed to eat anything. So if the dog stops to eat something, they have to start the test and training perhaps all over again. That would be hard. My dog wouldn't pass, I don't think.
But your dog has not been trained as a service dog either.
That's true. That's true.
But one thing that I think sometimes people forget is dogs are not people, and they need to be trained in a very strict manner. And if you train them and spend the time, they can do amazing things like these service dogs. But the whole point is that the focus of the dog is supposed to be on Kiera all the time, not on looking around to see what other kinds of goodies we can find in the neighborhood. So the dog is supposed to ignore any distractions and focus on Kiera. And he isn't supposed to eat, as she says here, and if he does, you got to start all over again. So this, I think everybody was probably kind of nervous about that. Is he going to do well? Is he going to pass? And did he?
And fortunately, Diego passed with flying colors, which just means he passed 100%. He completed everything really well.
No question about it. He did a great job. And what's his personality like, Hazel?
Very mild-mannered and laid back. Easygoing. Doesn't get excited too easily or too quickly.
And that's probably important for a service dog, because service dogs are supposed to go with people everywhere. And you just kind of have to, sometimes we say, go with the flow. Just go along with whatever is going on.
Right. And not only food can be a distraction. I think of cats. My dogs go crazy when they see cats running by. So these dogs have to be used to everything and be mild-mannered and not be concerned about the distractions.
That's right. Well, as I said earlier, I live in the state of Montana, and there's a lot of wildlife there. So my dog not only likes cats, he likes squirrels and different kinds of little animals. They're not really, I would say, rodents. They're not really rats, but they're little animals that run fast, and he pays attention to those.
Yeah, in fact, my dog pays attention to the ones she sees on television.
Uh-oh.
I can't even watch certain TV shows because the dog goes crazy when she sees the animals on TV. So my dog would not pass as this kind of a service dog.
So he would not pass with flying colors?
Not at all. But anyway, this dog was laid back, and Diego sounds like a good candidate for a service dog.
Yes, and it's great. Those two phrases there are very good to use with flying colors. We can say, you passed your English exam with flying colors, or you passed your physical exam with flying colors. 100%, no problems at all. And then we learned that Kiera had a cheerleading outing after Diego arrived in Michigan. And again, it's not clear from the text exactly what this means. What is a cheerleader or cheerleading?
Well, a cheerleader is someone who leads a cheer. When you cheer someone on, you say, go, 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 jayo, or you just encourage a team. And someone that leads that is perhaps someone that stands in front of the crowd and gets everyone cheering at the same time. So we don't know exactly what kind of outing it was, if it was to train cheerleaders or to cheer for their team or something. But at any rate, I bet it was noisy.
I'm sure it was very noisy, and there were probably a lot of people there.
Right, and yet it didn't seem to affect Diego. He says that he did awesome, so I guess they're very happy with how their dog did.
How he performed. And again, I'm sure that they were a little bit nervous. Oh, the trainers aren't here, and we're on our own, and is he going to listen to us? Is he going to do what he's supposed to do? But he did awesome. And this is another more of a conversational phrase. It's not really slang, but maybe it is. It's very informal. You'll hear it often when someone wants to say someone did a very good job or someone was very successful. He did awesome.
Yeah, perhaps it would be a little better to say he was awesome. His behavior was awesome. But anyway, this is quotations. That we know that he was a good dog. He didn't get up. He didn't bark. Nothing. Okay, he didn't do any of those things might be a better way to say that.
Right, and he didn't do anything that he was not supposed to do. And I think our listeners have to remember that not everybody speaks in exact, perfect, proper, standard English, just like I don't think people speak in exact, perfect, standard Chinese either, because language is like that. So when you're hearing people talk or you're trying to talk yourself, you don't always have to be perfect. And you can say things like this, or your grammar isn't always perfect because we're human. So in any case, Diego did an excellent job. He was perfect. We could say he passed this test with flying colors as well. He didn't get up, meaning that they probably told him to lie down right next to Kiara. He did not get up at all. And he didn't bark. He didn't pay attention. He totally ignored all the noise, which is not easy for a dog.
No, it's not.
So we're glad that he did that, and I'm sure they were very happy because he successfully passed this test. Well, now we read about Dr. Kenneth Pittock, who is Kiera's physician, and he is amazed at the change that Diego has made for them, isn't he, Zach?
He is. He says that he was. It's been phenomenal, right? So just almost unbelievable. It's a miracle, really, of the change that could come from the service dog.
Yes, whenever we use the word phenomenal, it means more than expected or really, really great, more than you could even imagine almost. So it's nice to know that the dog made such a big difference to this family. And he talks about that more.
Right, and well, and I think we'll often use that word phenomenal if something is an answer to our prayers, which it seems like Diego has been, which was stated in the beginning of the article.
That's right. And oftentimes God does answer prayers like that in a phenomenal way, and I'm very happy for them. And he goes on to say that he's known Kiera for a long time, and she's a charming, vibrant girl.
I think vibrant means lively or energetic. It's got a good meaning, right? She's not perhaps laid back and mild manner, but she has a lot of enthusiasm. All right. But she also has physical challenges. So this doctor knows her very well. And he says that having this dog has changed her life and the life of her mom.
That's right. Oftentimes people with cerebral palsy cannot speak very well. It's hard to understand them. Maybe some of our older listeners remember a Chinese woman named Huang Meilian. And she is an amazing person. She cannot speak well, but she can communicate in many other ways. And she also, I would describe as being vibrant.
Very vibrant and enthusiastic. And some people with physical challenges can be. And if you notice that word challenges, it sounds like a positive thing. We all have obstacles to overcome. And someone with physical challenges, they're people too. And so we need to encourage them and come alongside them and help them meet their challenges.
That's right. I think the author or the doctor specifically chose that word because it has a positive meaning behind it. Challenge gives you the idea that it's something you can overcome and you can work through. If they'd said physical disability, that would give you a different feeling. That would make you feel almost like, oh yeah, there's a lot of things she can't do or she can't be. But here, she can. That's the whole idea.
That's right. And the dog has been able to make a big difference in the life of her, in her life, and also the life of her mom.
Right. And the doctor says that having the dog has been able to change her life, meaning Kiera's life, and the life of her mom. And then we say, who is kind of her 24/7 companion? Again, this is something we often say. He's kind of good. He's kind of tall. But what exactly does that mean, Zach?
Yeah, it's kind of like synonymous with he's like, he's kind of,
sort
in this
of,
way, or that sort of, right, as just a way to describe someone.
Yeah, meaning you're not being exact. You're saying a little bit, maybe more. So he's, again, the doctor's trying to describe what Kiera's mother's like. And again, here we see what I mentioned on the first day was the 24/7 companion.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You'll hear that pretty often these days. A lot of people use that phrase, 24/7. Companion, always there. Caregiver, always ready to help. Mother, of course. And what else can we say? It sounds like he's saying out loud. He's trying to think of other things to describe Kiera's mom. Transportation, entertainment coordinator, and agent advocate. So a big dog description for a mom.
Yes, and I think if you are a mom or maybe a dad, you know that you do all of these things for your family. So it's fun to think about sometimes all the things that our parents do for us. And don't forget to thank your parents for them, too. So maybe Kiera's mother, her name is Anitra. She provides transportation. She takes her daughter different places. She's the entertainment coordinator, meaning she thinks of fun things for her to do. This is kind of like a big fancy title, which just means that she's organizing activities for her daughter. And she's an agent advocate.
She helps support her daughter. She steps in and says supportive things and does things that will help her daughter, maybe arranges things, organizes things.
Yes. Is being an advocate a good thing, Zach?
I would say certainly. To advocate for someone, right, to kind of step in, like Hazel said, to support, to provide some kind of service or encouragement to kind of rally her or to cheer her on.
That's right. And I think parents should be their kids' advocate, meaning you want to cheer for them. You want to encourage them. You want to help them grow and develop. I think an advocate sees the best in someone, and they want to make that best even better if they can. So Diego has improve their lives. Although Anitra obviously is a very dynamic, vibrant mother, but the dog has made a difference, and I think service dogs make a difference in many different people's lives. Now, Zach, if I were to ask you to choose one word out of here that you'd want our students to take away from our program and try to use today, what word would that be?
You know, I really like this word vibrant. I think it spurs on a very good characteristic for someone to describe themselves by, to be a vibrant person, right? It says energetic, exciting, full of enthusiasm. It doesn't explicitly mean passionate, but that's what comes to mind, right? To have passion.
Yes. Someone who's really, maybe we could say a go-getter, which is the opposite of mild-mannered, which we also learned. What about you, Hazel?
That's the word I was thinking. Mild-mannered, kind of the opposite. So she's vibrant and the dog's mild-mannered. So opposites attract, sometimes we say.
Yes. So mild-mannered would be quiet and calm and maybe does not call attention to itself. It just kind of goes along with whatever's happening. And I think there's room in our world for both kinds of people, for both kinds of characteristics. Because that's what makes our world such a wonderful place, is because we're all different. And we need to celebrate those differences. Well, I hope you've enjoyed our lesson today, learning about Diego and Kiara. I hope you'll take some of this vocabulary and try to use it today. And you'll join us next time for a new article. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye. Goodbye.